Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Charlie Goldsmith, and it is the final week of the regular season. Can't believe it's already here in some ways, but at the same time, it does feel like week 18 in a lot of ways. It's freezing in Cincinnati right now. We are really reaching the what they call as football weather. This weekend, the Bengals will head up to Cleveland to finished their season in a matchup against the Browns. The first time around, the Bengals lost to the Browns. It was one of their worst losses of the year in terms of point total. The Browns just beat them by a landslide. Joe Burrow turned the ball over. It just wasn't a good game for the Bengals. But it's going to be very different this time around because Joe Burrow isn't playing. Zach Taylor said yesterday, and Joe Burrow also saying he is not going to play. They're going to rest him, which I think is the smartest and most obvious choice after he banged up his right knee. He said if this game was a win and in type of game, he would be able to play through it. But given his injury history, they are erring on the side of caution and giving him a break. And I thought it was interesting, Charlie, when he said he's looking forward to kind of the mental break that he's going to get this week, not being the starting quarterback.
He mentioned, I think, waking up past 7 o'clock this week, which is a fun anecdote to it. Part of me is glad that Joe Burrow now has this final ribbon on the 2021 season. You're able to look at it at the usual 16-game sample mark, and you're going to be able to forever put that in the overall NFL context of how incredible of a leap Burrow made this season. I've said this before, but my most impressive stats with him are that he leads the NFL in yards per attempt, and he leads the NFL in completion percentage. He had a well-rounded season. He became the most improved player in the NFL, playing at a top-five level, and it took every single step of the way and every single progression for him to, one, win the division, and two, earn the right to rest this weekend.
And I thought something else that he improved during the season is his ability to stop turning the ball over. He said it, and I think that's why Joe Burrow has the respect of the locker room the way he does, is he doesn't come up to the podium, he doesn't say things out loud if he's not going to back them up. And he said, I need to stop turning the ball over before the bye week. He was disappointed in the number of interceptions he's thrown, and not all were his fault, of course, but he's totally backed it up. He's been great at taking care of the ball, and it's a big reason why the Bengals were able to finish out the season in the way that they did. So Burrow won't be playing, and there's a cast of other Bengals that could potentially not be playing, as the Bengals were hit by COVID this week pretty hard. Joe Mixon placed on the COVID reserve list, Von Bell, Trey Hendrickson, Quinton Spain, Trey Hopkins. So even if Joe Burrow was able to play without his starting guard and starting center against Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett, kind of err on the side of caution, right, Charlie?
Yeah, it's still the big test. I guess we'll have to see in the postseason how the Bengals have improved against an elite pass rush across the board like that. I've seen it as their biggest weakness. We won't get that this week, but overall, I think that's something they're playing for. What's the protection scheme you can draw up against this style of front? Because that's exactly what you'll need when you face a team like, say, the Indianapolis Colts in the postseason, or another team with an elite defensive line who could possibly come up in the playoffs.
Yeah. So you brought it up. So let's just talk about it right now. The playoffs will start next weekend. Right now, the Bengals don't know which day of the weekend they're going to be playing. It'll either be Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. We do know that. They also don't know who their opponent is going to be. But you can predict these types of things based off of scenarios. And it's more than likely the Bengals' opponent will be one of the three teams, the Bills, the Patriots, or the Colts. Right now, the heavy favorite based off of if the Bills were to win the division, the seeding, because the Bengals are probably going to be the number three seed, they'll play the number six seed, and that's looking like the second place team from the AFC East, which would be the New England Patriots. There's also a way in which the Colts could move into that spot, but if the Colts somehow lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I know you're saying there's no way they're going to lose the Jacksonville Jaguars. They haven't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in years. I saw a stat that it's been like since, like, I think it's over 4 years that they've actually beat the Jaguars. They seem to not play them well for whatever reason. So those are the three teams. When you look at that, Charlie, who is the worst matchup for the Bengals?
I think this is a team that's still a potential scenario as well. I think that teams that have been able to beat their soft zone defense over the top with the passing game has been a weakness throughout the season. Yes, they took huge strides, and I think most importantly, Enrumo took major strides as a play caller in the second half against the Chiefs. But look at the first half against the Chiefs. Look at the Chargers game. Look at the Packers game. I think the Chargers are still a very dangerous matchup. If they end up the team that ends up in Cincinnati in the first round, I think that part of the reason you have so much confidence in the Bengals in the playoffs is what Joe Burrow can do on the big stage, is the upside of an elite passing offense. The Chargers bring a lot of the same strengths to the table. Plus, they bring probably the best edge rusher who in any scenario could probably wind up playing in Cincinnati in the first round, and that's Joey Bosa. The two big factors I'm looking at is quarterbacks, you can beat them deep, and elite pass rushers, and I think the Chargers have the best two when it comes to that. So to me, that's the worst matchup I see.
And on the other end, who is your pick for the best matchup?
The Patriots, look at the flip side of that argument I just made. Mac Jones has had a really impressive rookie season. But of all the quarterbacks, I would say including Carson Wentz, he's the least likely to beat you deep. And I think I've been really impressed with what the Bengals have done this year against on-time quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't torch them. Derek Carr didn't have a very good game against the Bengals at all. I see Mac Jones in that kind of mold. And on top of that, the Patriots, while they have a very strong secondary, Matthew Judon isn't in the same tier as a DeForest Buckner or a Joey Bosa, and it's a team that ranks very low in sacks this season. So overall, that's why I would see the Patriots as a very good matchup for the Bengals.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Bills would be a really good matchup for the Bengals just because I think they've been really inconsistent and defensively. I don't think they have the horses to keep up with the Bengals' dynamic receiving weapons. I think the team that would scare me maybe the most is the Chargers, like you said. But I think the Bengals would get them the second round. The team that scares me the most is Bill Belichick and the Patriots just because of what a good coach he is in the postseason. But it'll be a ton of fun next week to really get into these matchups in depth when we know who the opponent will be. So that is just Charlie and I previewing what we think could potentially happen. That is it for us wrapping up the Browns game and talking playoffs. Now I'm going to bring in Jason Hoffman to talk about the rest of the NFL's Week 18 final game slate. Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder. Well, here's Jason Hoffman. It is the final week of the regular season. Can you believe it?
My brain is still trying to readjust for the fact that we're already into January. We'll be in mid-January by the time the playoffs start. So no, I kind of can't because I'm used to this is wild card weekend coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been an incredible ride. And we're going to end on a positive note, even though you have to be an absolute degenerate to bet on glorified preseason games, which the vast majority of these are going to be.
Yeah.
Outside of a couple. I love it because you might as well do what Matthew McConaughey did at the end of the Two for the Money movie with Al Pacino, where he's freaking out. So he just mental breakdown, flips a coin, heads or tails, who's going to win? And he goes perfect, right?
Yeah.
So let's get some positive vibes going for everyone out there. And screw it. As Coach Fickell and the UC Bearcats said, let it fly, even though they didn't do that in the CFP semifinal. Let's let it fly.
Or you could do what Joe Burrow did, which has become a very popular meme. F it, Jamar's down
that's
there
right.
Somewhere.
F it, we're covering the spread. Let's throw it down there.
Yes.
Let's do
that's
it.
What for those who didn't hear that from Joe Burrow following the game against the Chiefs, someone basically asked, do you just kind of think Jamar's open every time you drop back? And he was
It became a meme.
Well, yeah.
When he threw that interception against the Chargers.
Exactly. Yeah. So Joe Burrow's just a walking meme at all times, it seems like, which is fun for Bengals fans because you got a quarterback who's got a personality.
And just to remind all of our listeners, You can listen to the coach speak, the player speak all you want. Oh, I don't pay attention to the media. I don't look. They look at everything. Mm-hmm. They may not acknowledge it publicly. They look at and read every single thing.
Yes, they do. All right, so let's get into it. Which games of this week stand out to you first and foremost?
I'm starting off on the Saturday slate, Kansas City and Denver. Kansas City goes to Denver, where I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes, if he wanted to, could throw the ball out of the stadium because of the higher elevation, right? But, man, this number. I know Denver doesn't have anything to play for. 10.5 against that defense? I mean, Denver's defense is no joke.
Well, I think Patrick Mahomes has never lost the Broncos. So I think that has something to do with it.
No, but 10.5, I mean, you're talking a more than a touchdown and a field goal. You're talking a two-touchdown game right there. That's a big number for me. Kansas City does have a little bit to play for. They'll be playing at the same time the Titans are playing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they need to win. They need the Titans to lose for them to get that number one seed.
Can you believe that, though, if they both win, Tennessee being the number one seed in the AFC, playing most of their games without Derrick Henry? If you would have said before the season that's going to happen, I would have looked at you like you had 10 heads. I can't believe it.
It's very reminiscent, because Mike Vrabel's gotten that defense solid. It's very reminiscent of what the Ravens used to do in the waning Flacco
years.
Get that good pass rush, get that defense going, and just tell your quarterback, which Ryan Tannehill generally can do, don't lose the game for us. You don't need to go win it. Just don't go and throw something stupid down there and throw interceptions all day. So, yes. Have no idea how that's going to shake out. But yes, Tennessee being the number one seed. For all of you that cover the team for us here at the Enquirer, I am hoping for your sake that if the Bengals go on the road, it's to Nashville, because that is way better than going to Kansas City, where Arrowhead is not even anywhere close to the city. You got to go quite a ways out to get there. So for travel considerations, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that y'all get to go to Nashville.
See, when I think about things like that, and I think this is like the inner football fan in me, that I think about like stadiums.
And Arrowhead's awesome.
I have been to, prior to this year, I had been to 30 of 32 NFL stadiums. The only two I hadn't been to were Buffalo and Kansas City.
Well, you get to go to Arrowhead next year, and you get to go to Buffalo next year. So
yes,
you get that taken care of next year. That'll be fine.
Yes. So from that standpoint, I see what you're saying, because Nashville's a great city. But I'm super excited, just as like a football fan, to go if they were to go to Kansas City. But I'd also think the Bengals have a way better chance to beat the Titans. But we'll talk about
that. Yeah.
We can't get ahead of ourselves.
Okay, sorry. We're getting off track here. So back on track. As much as I don't like it, I'm going to take Denver plus the 10.5.
Okay.
I think Kansas City wins, but I don't think it's by two touchdowns. That Denver defense, there's a pride factor there, right? They're going to hear all week they've never beaten Patrick Mahomes. They'll keep it a little closer. Moving along, a game that I love here. First home dog of the week, but because we're doing this week 18 thing a little weird, Philadelphia Eagles getting 6.5 right now, hosting the Dallas Cowboys, a plus 260 on the money line. Neither team has anything to play for. Philly's at home.
I think Dallas has the number two seed to play for.
That's with a bunch of crazy stuff happening around them. I like Philly in this game to win outright, just because it'll be cold. Mike McCarthy's teams do not scare me. I like Dak Prescott. He doesn't scare me against this Philadelphia defense. Let's go. Screw it. The Eagles run the ball, will control the clock, and win outright. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, I think the Eagles they played really good recently, and they controlled the line of scrimmage, so I think that's a really good pick by you.
All right, and let's move on.
Oh, can I ask you a question about one game?
Yep.
Because when I saw this line, it makes zero sense to me, but I then talked myself through it. Do you think the reason the Packers are only favored 2.5 at the Lions is because they don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play like the whole game? Like, why is that
correct?
Not more?
So the thought right now is, at least from what I've seen, is that it'll be a glorified what used to be the third preseason game. Okay. Rodgers will play the first half, second half, all the backups are out there. That's what the bookmakers are putting that number at, because if it was an accurate number, it's at least 8, maybe
right.
10.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly where they're going okay. with that.
What other games stand out, intrigue you, et cetera?
The game of the two coaches who will no longer be employed after the game. The Chicago Bears going to the Minnehaha Vikings. Mm-hmm. Chicago's getting 3.5. Minnesota's a -112 to cover the number. Chicago's a -108. So you get a little value there. I don't trust Chicago whatsoever, especially because this Bears team is going against a Vikings defense that will probably have some illusion that their coach is still going to be around, even though he won't be. So
oh,
I'm going to take
for sure. Think he's gone.
I 100%. I think so. That whole team needs to get redone in a different image if mm-hmm. they want to compete.
Right.
In that division,
they're going to have a chance in their division if Aaron Rodgers dips out of Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I think retirement is more likely than leaving.
But anyways, if he's not playing,
either way, that division does open up. But I think time is run out for Zimmer in Minnesota. But however. I like two things in this game. I like Minnesota minus the 3.5, even though it's a -112, you lose a little value mm-hmm. there. And I like the under 44.5. I think this turns into a old school NFC North type game, run the ball. I don't think Chicago's offense is going to move it whatsoever. So I like the under in this.
All right. So can I unveil my home dog?
Do
Are we
it.
Not there yet?
Do it.
Drum roll, please. my home dog for this game actually is one that Bengals fans, if you're listening, are probably listening to hear about this game, because I think this is a Browns win this weekend.
They are not underdogs, though.
They aren't?
No. They're favored.
Where I'm looking at is Bengals favored by 3.
Cleveland -6.5 is the number this morning.
That must have changed. Oh, it changed.
It changed when
Joe Burrow. Okay,
yes.
So I pulled this yesterday. So
if we can take our readers back about 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Remember when I talked about quarterback or value of player to the line? How about Joe Burrow moving this line 8.5 points?
That's insane. That's so much.
Dude threw for almost 1,000 yards in back-to-back last two games combined. So, yeah, it's – no, that moved to Cleveland -6.5 this morning. I was blown away.
I put my notes together yesterday.
I don't know how they cover that number, mm-hmm. but we'll pretend.
Okay.
If it was -2 Bengals, you would have taken Cleveland to win outright.
100%.
So, see, you should be working in the book. You should have been like, guys,
yeah,
this is the way it's going
to
go.
Well, raise your hand if you're excited to see Case Keenum versus Brandon Allen.
I actually am, right? I love Case Keenum.
I know. That's why
he's the little engine that could.
Well, actually, I heard a really funny soundbite that the Browns will probably play their best game for Case Keenum because nobody can tell if the rest of the Browns team even likes Baker Mayfield.
I don't think they do.
So they'll play their A game because Case Keenum could potentially be better than Baker.
That Thursday night game when Case had to start.
Yep.
I mean, that team did not impress, did not scare me, but at the same time, it was like they controlled the clock, they controlled the ball. When they needed a 3rd-and-7 throw, he did it. As long as he can work off play action and get outside the pocket on the bootleg, he can make accurate throws. Don't ask him to run you down the field with 1:30 and no timeouts left, but you get that run game going, Cleveland.
Can I ask you if you thought about this as a potential home dog? And I have good reason for why I'm asking. The Colts at the Jags.
I did.
Because you know the history. The Colts have not beat them.
So two games this week where I like large underdogs at home that I'm not going to bet on, but I'm just going to throw it out there because they're going to their house of whores. Whores is in it. Scary. Keep it PG-13, Jason. Anyways. Indy going to Jacksonville and New England going to Miami. Both teams favored big. Mm-hmm. New England, as of this morning, is – did I write this down? I think it was 8.5. No, 6.5. Sorry. New England, 6.5. Miami, plus 6.5 at home. The Patriots need this game. They're in the playoffs, but they need this to win the division. Right. And they need the Bills to lose. But we all know what's happened when New England's gone down to Miami. And Indianapolis has not fared well going to Jacksonville. So, yeah, I like both of those games. If you want to throw them in a tease, that'd be fun. Again, not saying I'd take them outright, but that's just, you know, something to keep in the back of your head as you're chilling on the couch with maybe a frosty beverage, watching the scores scroll across the bottom of the screen. Oh, yeah, that's right. Those teams do struggle at those locations.
Good call. Here's one for you. The Houston Texans versus the Tennessee Titans. Did I just steal your home dog?
Nope.
That, I think, would be my second pick because the Texans have played teams
They've been scrappy.
And the Titans have some pretty horrid losses to, like, the Jets early in the season. And the Titans can look really good, but they can also look really bad. So keep your eye on the Titans at Texans game because don't be surprised if – even if the Titans squeak that one out in the end, if the Texans play them really, really close and it's maybe like a three-point game.
And Tyrod Taylor guarantees some team is going to pay him decent money to be a backup next year.
Yeah.
Might even be Houston. Who knows? As they should.
All right. Give us your home dog.
The autumn wind is a pirate. The Las Vegas Raiders getting 3.5 at home against the Chargers and Justin Herbert, who are overrated, should have lost to the Bengals if a couple different things changed in that game. I like Vegas. The craziness of this season. Henry Ruggs sitting in a jail cell, whatever. John Gruden fired because whatever. Another DUI last week, right? Right after the game on Sunday. Like, how are you able to get to that level of drunkenness that quickly after your plane? Anyways.
Call an Uber.
Vegas plus 3.5 at home against the Chargers. This is a win and get in game. This is the game that matters this week. Go Vegas. Started the season riding the Raiders to beat the Baltimore Ravens outright on Monday Night Football. They did that. Closing the season with the Raiders at home as dogs, plus 133. That is my final home dog of the regular season. I'm excited.
That's a great pick. Love that pick. Another game that I wanted to ask you about, why are the Ravens favored in the way they are against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Who still have something to play for? And it's Big Ben's potential last game.
Lamar's going to play and emotional letdown factor. Everyone, one last renegade, right?
Yeah.
One last ride at Heinz Field. Go out of win. They got as up as they could possibly get for that game. They know if they get to the playoffs, they're getting blown out by whomever they play. I don't like the line because I would like to see it closer to either even money or maybe even get a couple points for the Ravens. Because even if Lamar plays, right? Like, he's not going to be – he's not even going to be 80%. It kind of seemed weird to me. I think this is one of those classic game or classic lines where the odds makers said, let's see how much early money we can get on Baltimore, and this will move closer to Pittsburgh as it goes. Because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, I can get money?
Gotcha.
Or get points with the Steelers?
Right.
Sorry. Let's see how much money we can get on the Steelers, and then we'll move it as we get closer to game time.
Right. Yeah. I just saw that, and I was like, I noted that.
But yeah, 5.5 is like, I could have seen 3.5 or 2.5.
Right.
Like field goal
exactly.
area.
Exactly. Same.
But
I'm thinking this is like a 24-21 type game.
Yeah. But this is, I think they're banking on the big letdown.
Gotcha.
But if you do like the Pittsburgh Steelers, yins out there, they are a plus 200, so 2-1 for your money right now.
Right. Yeah. All right. You want to talk about this weekend's
game? We're doing the Battle of Ohio.
The Battle of Ohio. The battle of the backup quarterbacks.
And backup everything else, right? So are we gonna look back this time next week as we're previewing the Bengals versus the Colts or whomever?
Patriots,
Bills, who knows? Are we going to look back at this and say, this was the Samaje Perine game where he just went off?
No, because I think that the Browns defensive line is going to play their starters. So, well, the Bengals aren't going to be playing Trey Hopkins and Quentin Spain because they're both on the COVID IR list right now. And even if they test back in by Sunday, Spain's dealing with an ankle injury, so he's not going to play. And Hopkins is a veteran who needs a rest. He barely gets through a full week of practice anyways. So you're telling me that you think P. Ryan's going to go off with the Bengals' second-string offensive line that is not very good against –
I did not make a declarative statement. I asked a question.
Well, yes.
My bad.
No, I in no chance.
So the Brandon Allen game then.
It's going to be the Brandon Allen game.
39 of 45.
I think we're looking at like 2 picks. Like I just think
2 picks, 5 touchdowns. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying for the Bengals fans out there because I think this goes bad again.
Yeah.
I like Cleveland minus the 6.5.
Yes.
I would take it if it was 8.5 because I think this is a 10-plus point loss, which doesn't matter. That's fine because you know what? This week, for all intents and purposes, maybe moves them 1 seed. And you kind of want that because I would rather take the winner of that Vegas Chargers game than have to face New England or Indianapolis in the first round of the playoffs.
Agreed.
That's just me.
Agreed. I agree with that.
So that's fine. But yeah, I like Cleveland minus the points here. I also don't like, there's been a lot of movement in the over under. Mm-hmm. Obviously tons of movement from the line because of Joe Burrow. 38 points. That's a big ask for backup right? offenses.
Right.
I mean, unless you're thinking this is going to be the 2000 Ravens and Cleveland's defense is going to score 3 touchdowns.
No.
Like I cannot see taking the over in this. Mm. So I would go Cleveland minus 6.5, under 37.5, 38, whatever it's at. What say you?
I think you're spot on. I think, as I mentioned, I did think that the Browns win this one pretty single-handedly. And I don't, it's not going to be like an emotional letdown for the Bengals. This game doesn't matter.
No.
So
it matters the difference
between
number 3 or number 4.
Don't worry about the
momentum
thing. This does not matter at all. All you need to know is Joe Burrow is going to be getting healthy. I think that the Browns, they have issues. And I think that they will play well because Baker isn't playing. And I'll preface that by saying, like, I think that they knew this. I mean, people were crowning the Browns to be AFC North champs before the season even started. And I think it has not gone their way at all. But like, if they end the season losing to the Bengals entire backup, then you really have hit rock bottom from basically being at the highest point you could be for the Cleveland Browns fans. And you would tell them, you're from Ohio. You would tell me how long has it been since the Browns were as relevant as they were heading into the season?
They've won a couple of offseason championships recently, but they've never been as relevant since they departed for Baltimore. 99 or whatever it was when they came back and Drew Carey got everyone fired at the 50-yard line. That was cool. Yeah, they have not been relevant because they've just been a dumpster fire. There's right. there's the famous picture of the mannequin with the jersey with all mm-hmm. the quarterbacks they've had, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have not been. I personally would like to see Case Keenum win just because I have enough Browns friends that I can just twist the knife a little bit and just be like, oh, I guess you guys could do okay with a guy who just doesn't give the ball away and doesn't take stupid chances. But yeah, it'll be a fun game to watch if you're in it just to watch for the football or you want to see a really good game, good luck. But I think it'll be a fun watch. You know, Brandon Allen gets out there. Who knows?
And listen, this is my approach to these games is there's only a couple more weeks left of football. And then we go that whole stretch from end of February through September where it just seems like it is the longest amount of time. So even if it's backup NFL football, it is still NFL football. So
it's still better than, as much as I hate to say it, because I love watching professional football of any kind, still better than the XFL, still better than whatever reiteration of the USFL is coming mm-hmm. back or the AFL, whatever. I think it's the USFL. Yes. So we only have 4 weeks left.
Yeah.
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's really
sad. Unless you want to do a special one-off podcast where we get real degenerate-wise and bet on the Pro Bowl.
Oh, that could be fun.
Okay.
I could
we'll
be about
that. We'll do that. Okay. Right. And lastly, I just want to remember everyone out there that all the lines we discuss on here are brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico is a partner of Gannett USA, Gannett Company, Inc., which is the parent company of the Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. We do make money off of that partnership, just to let you know. And everything that we discuss here is for fun. This is not professional gambling advice. I hope that you've understood that clearly all year. And hey, listen, this is all, like I said, it's meant for fun. So everyone out there, gamble responsibly. If you or anyone you know has a gambling problem, please contact 1-800-GAMBLER, and we'll see you next week for the playoffs.